It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Sex trafficking happens in Wisconsin. The practice, which experts call modern-day slavery, is mostly targeted to teenage girls, but boys are not immune, and neither are older people. Are you or a loved one a survivor of sex trafficking? What was your experience? What do people get wrong when they think about sex trafficking? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can email us also at ideas@wpr.org. And you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Ashley Lutheran is a crime and breaking news reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She wrote a story about Armoni Chambers, who was groomed and lured to Chicago before her mother, with a lot of help and a lot of crowdsourcing, chased her down. She joins us now to talk about this story and other reporting she has done on human trafficking. Ashley, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Carrie.
So, first of all, talk to me about this Armoni Chambers story that you did for the Journal Sentinel. What happened to her?
So, Armoni Chambers was reported missing in May, actually. Her mother tried very hard. She wanted the case upgraded to a critical missing, meaning it would get more widespread attention. Once that did happen, a couple weeks later, the case did receive media attention here in Milwaukee, but, you know, nothing could stop her mother. She wanted to find her daughter. She was getting really frustrated with the Milwaukee Police Department. So she went to Tori Lowe, who's a well-known activist in our area. And together they, you know, she had gotten some information that her daughter was likely in Chicago, and they just got in the car last Monday and they drove down. Tori and Armoni's mother both went live on Facebook. Tori has a really large following, not just in Wisconsin, but also in Chicago. He's done a lot of walks, you know, anti-violence walks from Milwaukee to Chicago over the past few years. And people he had met along the way saw his live broadcast from Chicago as they're handing out flyers and looking for her. And they all kind of jumped in and basically really amplified the search for the 16-year-old girl. And she was actually found last Wednesday. But her mother, in an interview last week, said, you know, it's pretty clear. You know, her mother said, I believe she was trafficked. She, from what her daughter told her, she was basically lured down to Chicago by someone online, was pretending to be someone they weren't. She bought a bus ticket. She went down there, and pretty much once she got down there, you know, she was in a very, very tough situation for such a young girl. And, you know, it's just really heartbreaking, because at one point she tries to call her father, or she does call her father, and he's at work and he doesn't answer. Her parents are not together. But when her mom later asked, why didn't you call me? She said, well, I didn't want you to be mad, because it's been so long since I've been home, you know. And it's just, it was just a really tough situation. And thanks to, you know, her mom and Tori and these other activists in Chicago, they really amplified her case and helped find her and bring her back.
So this was a case, it was heartbreaking. It ended well. But not all cases end well. Do you do a lot of reporting on human trafficking?
Yeah, we see a lot of this in our court system, you know, especially since, you know, I've worked in Milwaukee for 5 years now, and there have been really high-profile cases of sex traffickers being prosecuted. You know, a lot of people tend to sort of say, you know, Milwaukee is a hub for sex trafficking, is a hub for human trafficking, and part of the reason that the city has that reputation, it's a little bit of, you know, we're aware of it. There are a lot of task forces and other groups here working on the issue, so there's a heightened awareness, and once that happens, you know, you tend to see a little bit more reporting on it in terms of official statistics, which are notoriously difficult to track. But we've also had some very, very high-profile federal and state prosecutions of human traffickers, some of whom were, you know, famous or rather infamous for buying billboards and trafficking girls out to Las Vegas. All of that has happened here. And when the FBI, usually when people talk about rankings, there really is no sort of ranking among cities as to which is the worst for trafficking. Mm-hmm. But usually every year the FBI does something called Operation Cross Country, where they're basically trying to recover young people who are involved in trafficking. And for a couple of years, Milwaukee was in like the top three cities of most youth recovered, usually at like 10 or so.
Because of its proximity to Chicago, I'm not really understanding why Milwaukee makes the top three.
You know, when you talk to experts, it does have to do with proximity to Chicago, but it also has to do with some of these, and not just Milwaukee, but, you know, this does happen everywhere in the state. And, you know, I've interviewed survivors who said, I'm not just, you know, I wasn't just in Milwaukee. It was, you know, going up to Green Bay. It was going out, you know, to the Fox Valley and other areas, you know, where they were basically ordered to go, you know, work and be trafficked. And that was the situation. And so it's really mobile. And a lot of times it tends to show up in police reports that maybe appear on the surface to be like a domestic violence incident or a battery, but getting under the surface and asking a few more questions, it becomes clear that it's a trafficking case. But a lot of people have pointed to, you know, systemic problems of, you know, perhaps economic insecurity, a lot of the problems that are, you know, that Milwaukee has struggled with for a long time, and not just Milwaukee, but other areas too.
Mm-hmm.
And that can play a factor as well. And
so go ahead.
Oh, and I was just going to say, and I think there's been a lot more now that it is so easy for young people and really everyone. Everyone's online.
Mm.
And, you know, this is adding a different dimension that it doesn't really matter where you are because you could kind of get involved in this anywhere, really.
So you mentioned that that girls are often shipped off to other places. Who's buying their services, and is there a focus on stopping that?
I think a lot of the discussion in recent years has focused on that. How do you stop the demand side of this equation? And I think a lot of you know, talking to law enforcement and reading some reports in these case files, you know, the Johns, as they're called, the people who are buying sex, will say, oh, well, I didn't know this girl was underage, or I didn't know she was here against her will. And I think, you know, there is just a hard, law in the state where, you know, a child cannot give consent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there really is more of a push to try to focus on that demand side for the people who are purchasing sex.
So talk to us about the Wisconsin We Need to Talk, WI We Need to Talk campaign.
Yeah, so this is a new campaign from the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families. They were part of a task force seeking to address human trafficking. It was the Department of Children and Families as well as the Department of Justice. And one of the recommendations that came out of that task force was to amplify awareness, and not just in Southeast Wisconsin, where we've had a lot of task forces and discussion on it already, but outstate as well. Because, again, there have been cases reported in, I believe, just about every county in the state. And it's really, it's going to be a multifaceted campaign. There's going to be a big push on social media, from what I understand. I can tell you in Milwaukee, I started seeing things probably about 2 weeks ago going up, and some different billboards and some different signs on our bus stops. And it has the messaging of we need to talk. And it's really trying to get the public and specifically parents engaged and kind of on alert for some of these warning signs that, you know, if there are a few of them, you know, kids skipping school, you know, they don't want to talk about their relationship with their romantic partner with you, those sorts of things aren't alone, you know, a huge red flag. But taken together, it's just trying to get parents a little bit more in the know about, you know, this is happening. And if there are a few of these things stacking up, you may want to have a conversation with your child or the young person in your life about healthy relationships and
right.
Trying to dig a little bit deeper, because that's what a lot of this is coming down to.
Yeah, you know,
and
what?
There are the high-risk signs.
We'll go with the high-risk signs in a moment, but a lot of people don't realize that trafficking can simply be your boyfriend wants to loan you out to his friends. That happens all the time.
That is frequently how it starts, you know, in sort of the jargon of people who work on this issue, you know, there are the Romeo pimps. There are the people who convince women, and this is often what happens, that they're their boyfriend, and then they sort of ask them and test their limits. Well, if you really love me, maybe you'll go dance here. Or if you really love me, you'll take this prostitution date. you know, and then you'll give me the money. And then there's sort of this, often there's this promise of, well, if you do this, then we can build our life together.
Mm.
And you're absolutely right. That's often how it starts.
We have been talking to Ashley Lutheran. I've got a lot more questions for her, but not any more time. Ashley is a crime and breaking news reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She wrote about a local teen named Armani Chambers, who was trafficked to Chicago and was rescued by her mother and a group of activists using social media. Ashley, thank you for being with us, and we will check in with you again.
Thank you for having me.
It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're looking at the state of human trafficking in Wisconsin. A few minutes ago, we heard the story of one Milwaukee teen who was rescued by her mom and anti-trafficking activists. But how many young women and men aren't so lucky? Are you an anti-sex trafficking advocate? What are your biggest challenges that need to happen? What are your biggest challenges and what are the biggest changes policy-wise that need to happen? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. For the rest of the hour, we're going to be talking to Joy Ippolito. She is the anti-human trafficking coordinator and a policy initiatives advisor for the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families. Joy, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Carrie.
So we ended up talking about to Ashley just a few minutes ago with the We Need to Talk campaign. This is a campaign that you and your team put out, right?
Yes, it is. It was a good 15 months in development. We spent a lot of time with our contractor really going out into the communities around Wisconsin, talking to adults, talking to youth, as well as really talking to survivors of trafficking, because we wanted to make sure that our messaging, that what we were putting out there was going to help, I think, grab people's attention, but also be sensitive to the fact that we know that there are survivors throughout Wisconsin, and we certainly want them to feel like they can come to us and accept help, not that they should be staying away from the authorities.
So generally, what happens when somebody is trafficked and they get out of it? Do they just sort of like lay low? Do they not seek help at all?
You know, it's a really interesting thing to say, you know, kind of getting out of it. We often like to talk about the fact that, you know, it's really a process. Simply finding somebody and, you know, trying to kind of remove them from that situation is really more about the step one, you know, after we've identified them. There's an entire engagement and recovery process that really has to happen, much like we would talk about anything else. If we were talking about drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and again, that's not to say that they have an addiction, but just that there's a length of time there that it takes to heal from a lot of the physical and emotional traumas that someone has experienced by virtue of being trafficked.
And we should say that it's not just a matter of finding someone and pulling her out. Often people have been groomed to trust the person that is trafficking them and refuse to actually admit that they're being trafficked.
Absolutely. Disclosure is certainly a huge issue, whether or not you're just thinking, this is my boyfriend or this is my girlfriend, because I think it's also important in this conversation that we don't lose sight of the fact that it's not just men who traffic.
Right.
There are also female traffickers out there, as well as young males who are also just at risk of trafficking, as young females are. But absolutely, they will think, you know, this is my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my lover, my daddy. This is the person who has shown me love. This is the person who has promised me some greater, better life than I thought I had at home. And a lot of that manipulation and those different tactics, you know, can really pull somebody in. And so when you try to offer them help, why would they want to accept that help? This is the person who they're professing to love. A lot of it runs very parallel to domestic violence situations, mm-hmm. where there's really kind of that push and that pull and the struggle to really remove oneself from those situations.
So with Wisconsin, am I supposed to say it, we need to talk?
Yeah, we kind of had it both ways, the play on words, right? So Wisconsin, we need to talk by kind of that abbreviation for the state.
Right. Okay. So you are doing ads that are getting information out to people about sex trafficking to prevent it and to start a conversation with people who have been trafficked, right?
I would say it's to start the conversation first and foremost to help prevent it. So we would really like, you know, kind of members of the public out there to start to be aware this is happening in our state. And even though we, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of attention given to Milwaukee, this is happening statewide. Mm-hmm. This is happening in our urban areas, our rural areas, tribal areas of the state. Really, there's no area that you can say this isn't going to happen here, because it is. And so we want people to first and foremost be aware of that, but then also be on the lookout for some of those warning signs. I know Ashley earlier in the program mentioned some of those, but also have conversations with young people about what a healthy relationship should look like. You know, someone that's kind of controlling you or taking things from you or asking you to do sexual acts for somebody else isn't somebody who loves you or someone who appreciates you. As well as, I think, just bringing attention to the fact that parents in particular need to be aware of their children's online activities. You know, there's so many different smartphone apps these days that it's very hard to kind of monitor who might be talking to your young person. Mm-hmm. And so we want to kind of, again, bring awareness to that. We will be having a second phase, hopefully later this year or early into next year, where we will want to target a little bit more about some of those areas where people who are working with trafficking survivors.
So if I'm a parent or a teacher or somebody in a kid's life and I notice their behavior changing, what behavior should I look for? What should worry me?
You know, certainly if your child starts to come home with items that you knew that you didn't either provide them or your child doesn't have a job that they would be able to afford those. So, you know, expensive clothing or jewelry, a new cell phone that you know you didn't purchase, running away from home, or, you know, starting to skip school a lot. Really some of those changes in behavior that sometimes are typical adolescent behaviors, but when you really start to kind of come into connecting the different dots to say, okay, there's lots of different things that are going on here. You know, certainly if you ever find sexually explicit pictures on your child's phone or you find that they're sexting somebody else, certainly there's cases, again, where that happens and it's not a trafficking case, but I think it warrants kind of further investigation of potentially what could be going on there.
We are talking about human trafficking in Wisconsin and efforts to warn people about the signs. 800-642-1234. Please call us and tell us your story about dealing with human trafficking. You can also email us at WPR.org and tweet us at WPR Mornings. Part of this Wisconsin We Need to Talk campaign entails billboards and advertisements with some pretty explicit photos. Talk to me about these photos and how you chose them.
So we particularly, I don't know if I would use...
I don't know, explicit. I agree with that, yes.
Okay, yeah. So we actually, again, going back to those focus groups we had with survivors and youth, we really wanted to find ways to say, and again, this even goes back to the Wisconsin Anti-Human Trafficking Task Force that met for 2 years, from December 2015 to 2017. And one of the first things that that group talked about was really that we need to always be talking about this in very respectful, non-judgmental ways. So doing any kind of shocking imagery, you know, things that are showing people in states of distress or hurt, we really wanted to avoid those because we don't want that to be triggering to survivors. But again, we also want to show that this can happen to any youth. Mm. If you look at, there's 12 different images of both young men and women, and that's to really show that this can happen to anybody. It doesn't matter what your racial or ethnic socioeconomic background is. It doesn't matter what your identified gender is. This could be happening to you. And so, you know, we again wanted to have some of those images just invite in the fact that these are young people. These are typical looking young people. There's not someone that you could see walking down the street. And in fact, that's often a common misconception. A lot of people seem to think that these are youth who might be hidden away or we can't find them. And certainly there are cases of that. But oftentimes youth who are being trafficked are in plain sight. They are walking down the street. They're at your local fast food restaurant. They're out in the communities. They're not necessarily hidden away. And sometimes they're being abused, and the public doesn't see that, partly because we don't know how to connect those dots and those warning signs.
So we are talking about sex trafficking in the state. Social media is a big way that this has blossomed. Are we being affected? Are kids being affected by other media also?
You know, the literature and the research certainly has talked about that. I've been to some of the national conferences, and you know, one of the things you'll hear people talking about when they work with young people is that they'll ask them, you know, what does a trafficker, what does a pimp look like? And sometimes youth will, you know, describe the typical Halloween costume of, you know, a velvet hat and a cane and gold teeth, and none of that is, for the most part, who they're going to see walking around. And so I think that a lot of times the media portrayals of, like, who are the bad people that you have to be looking out for are not going to really meet our understanding of that. Again, the same thing is true of those who are purchasing sex services. You know, they're often average members of the community. They're not people who are kind of, you know, scary looking, but that's often the messages that we give to young people. And so, again, there's a lot of education that has to happen in that way as well.
So when we first started talking, you used the term survivor. People also use the term victim. What do you prefer and why?
Again, great question, because it's something that we've talked about at length, both Department of Children and Families and within the task force. Victimhood often is a label that not everyone wants to accept for themselves, because in a criminal justice sense, we will say you're a victim of a crime, and certainly sex trafficking of a minor is a form of child abuse, and that's, you know, something that we're trying to get that message out there to professionals around the state. But not everyone will accept that as a victim. So again, going back to what I said earlier, if you have a young person who says, this is my boyfriend, and you say you're a victim of a crime, it's almost a non-starter. Why would I want to talk to you when you're already labeling me with something that I don't accept?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, going back to that domestic violence piece, if you're in a domestic violence relationship and you sometimes try to tell somebody you're a victim in this case, they're not going to want to listen to that message right away. That often, again, takes that process. And so we really try to lead with what the individual label that they want to apply to them. You know, certainly in the professional settings, we talk about people being victims, but when we're talking one-on-one with individuals, we want to go where they're going with this. We want to be sensitive to their needs. And many people who, you know, do get to the point of healing and are willing to start talking about their experiences will often start to refer them to themselves as survivors. And so that's often the terminology we choose to use.
You know, we talked about the fact that sex trafficking recruitment is often an emotional and psychological coercion. I think a lot of people feel, oh, I'm safe. You know, I have a middle class existence. I have an upper class existence. Mm-hmm. My kids are safe from this. Are they really?
Yeah, I mean, I think nobody's safe from this, right? There's, you know, if you just peruse newspapers of the last 10 years across the country, you know, there's often these cases where it's someone who grew up in a middle-class home going to middle-class schools, you know, everything is great. You have both parents home. You don't have the kinds of risk factors, but sometimes it can be something, I don't want to say it's simple, but, you know, you have the death of a parent, and all of a sudden, you know, everyone's giving attention to the spouse, you know, the father who's left behind, the younger kids. And maybe you have a 13 or a 14-year-old young girl who's really kind of coming into her own in adolescence and feeling like nobody's paying attention to her in that. And you could have someone swoop in and, you know, start to say, oh, I love you. I want to be your boyfriend. Even if that doesn't happen, you can, again, just have so many teens and adolescents are, you know, in the throes of trying to find their way, trying to be in a relationship. And you have someone who comes and tells you, you know, you're really pretty. And it's grooming happens on a very kind of insidious, slow pace. It's not like it's necessarily one and done, and they start to really get into your mind. And as you said, those manipulative tactics that they use, they're really trying to get into a young person's head and convince them they are the best thing in the world and that they're the only person that's going to love them.
So Ashley Lutheran was from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was talking about how Milwaukee has become a big trafficking city. Why is that?
You know, I don't know that we have any specific answers, but I think more generally speaking, Milwaukee is our largest urban center in the state of Wisconsin. And certainly what's happening in Milwaukee is not unique to that in terms of every other urban city in the country is dealing with this. Chicago, New York, San Francisco, L.A. And so I think in part that just happens to be you have a lot more people there. But also, too, you know, we know that Milwaukee is off of the 90-94 corridor. So it's very easy also to go from Milwaukee to other states, to go to our neighboring states of Minnesota or Illinois or even Iowa. And I think it's just it's something that states across the country are grappling with in all of their large urban cities.
And as we have just talked about, the last hour we talked about rural America, this happens in rural counties, too. It's not just a big city problem.
Absolutely, it does. And then the survivors that we've spoken with, both for our campaign and an upcoming documentary video that we've been working on, we have survivors from all corners of the state and definitely in those smaller towns. And, you know, sometimes they may end up in Madison, Milwaukee, or Green Bay, but sometimes they're trafficked right there in their own hometowns. And a lot of times it's harder because we don't necessarily always have the service capacity in those areas, or we don't have people who are necessarily maybe trained to recognize it in a place like Milwaukee where everyone's talking about it a little bit more. But yes, it's absolutely a concern in those areas, and I think it's something that's why we put this prevention campaign out, because we really want everyone around the state to understand, no, this could be happening in your town.
We are talking to Joy Ippolito. She's a anti-human trafficking coordinator for the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families. We are also taking your calls. Joy has spoken to a lot of people who have been trafficked. So has our last guest who works for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Have you spoken to people who have been trafficked? Are you aware of this? Are you afraid that maybe your child is at risk of this? Is he or she dating someone that you don't really quite trust? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at WPR.org, tweet us at WPR Mornings. Joy, I'm curious as to, are there rural areas that are more susceptible to this because they are too on the highway from Milwaukee?
I mean, I think any place that's off of a major highway, certainly, you know, it's easy access. It's very easy to move people. Once you're near an expressway, and it's pretty easy to also disappear pretty quickly. But I don't know that there's any one particular rural area, that's harder hit than others. I just think it's something that equally could happen. And again, Ashley had mentioned this earlier, sometimes trafficking happens because of an economic vulnerability. Whether there's not enough money or someone feels like they're trying to escape their home. You know, we have young people who run away because they maybe don't feel safe at home or they don't feel accepted at home. And so they might leave those areas actually to come to the larger cities, hoping to find acceptance and instead finding people who are taking advantage of them.
We are talking about human trafficking in Wisconsin. We're going to be back in a moment with Joy Ippolito. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Sex trafficking in Wisconsin is on the rise, but the state has put some programs in place to help people in service industries recognize human trafficking and help people understand how to prevent it. Joy Ippolito is spearheading most of those initiatives. She is the anti-human trafficking coordinator and a policy initiatives advisor for the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families. Have you or someone you loved been trafficked? What did it do to you, and how did did you get out? What was the process like? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Joy, I know that you have billboards out there warning people about what human trafficking looks like and that it can happen to any of us. There have also been billboards that I have seen in other states that are directly geared toward people who have been trafficked. Is Wisconsin We Need to Talk going to be doing anything like that?
Again, in this first phase, the focus is really, you know, we had to start from very basic level that we know there are many people around the state who aren't even aware that this is something that's happening here. It's often thought of as this thing that's happening in foreign countries, or if it's happening in the U.S., it's happening because of people who are foreign-born or immigrants that are here, that are brought here often for labor trafficking or thought about in the big cities. And so in order for us to even just start that conversation, we first had to let the general public know this is something we need you paying attention to. A lot of our efforts really to be working with survivors, the Department of Justice actually about 2 years ago put up posters they have for the National Human Trafficking Hotline. And so those are available really, that's a nationwide resource. And that's available to anybody who, you know, considers that they need to call and get services or get support. From DCF, because we work so closely with young people under the age of 18, we really wanted to find ways to, again, raise that awareness, but then also make sure that we have professionals who are trained to be spotting this. Because a lot of times, while we'll have some youth that may come forward, a lot of times it's going to be the professionals that are working with them that are most likely to spot those signs. So further along in a few months, we'll be kind of targeting with a phase two to really target those professionals and helping them to understand and help people attempt to get that help.
The stuff you're putting out, is it in different languages?
We have it available in English and Spanish. So especially in Milwaukee, we've had statewide, over 7,000 posters that have been distributed. We have a lot of different anti-trafficking advocates around the state in various counties and larger and smaller towns. And so I know that Milwaukee certainly got a lot of those, as well as places like Eau Claire, La Crosse, Wausau, the Fox Valley, Green Bay. So we thought about whether it would have to be in Hmong. We actually had a focus group with Hmong adults and ultimately determined that English and Spanish would kind of be the two preferred languages.
We are talking about human trafficking in Wisconsin. It happens here, and it's not quite as obvious as you would think. We're taking your phone calls, 800-642-1234. Teresa from Madison, welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for letting me have a moment. I'm a nurse case manager. I have worked with some trafficking clients in Madison. And once they've been identified, the providers need to know that it's hard sometimes to get them away from the people to a safe place. So they need to know those items to keep that person safe, because for a young person to get out of trafficking, they are so indentured to the person that has put them in. It's a very scary time for them.
So are you seeing people who are sort of emotionally connected, like being in a in an abusive relationship? Or are you seeing people who want to get out and are just terrified?
I'm seeing young girls who get befriended by a man or a boyfriend, and then they are soon involved in the trafficking business for payback, for food, comfort, warmth. And there are some women who do want to get out, but if they're young and if they are too scared and if they are feeling accountable to the person that got them in, they won't get out.
And are you confident that you can help them, that there's a place to send them if they do want to get out?
Yes. Actually, I just went to a recent seminar from a lot of people from the Milwaukee area that have access to resources, and it was very enlightening to know there is help out there. But it's really a tough thing to get that person unentangled from the whole lifestyle.
Teresa, thank you very much for calling. I very much appreciate this. Joy, speak to what Teresa is saying. We've talked about this earlier, that this is an emotional entanglement, and sometimes it's just fear, and you're too scared to run away.
Yeah, we've definitely heard that story time and time again from survivors. A lot of times those people who are able to kind of, you know, run from it, take a moment where, you know, maybe the trafficker's not paying attention, right? Or they've gone to the local corner convenience store and they take that moment to run. But a lot of times, again, there are individuals who are in contact with professionals, whether that's in a medical setting. You know, we've been doing a lot of work trying to make sure that medical professionals around the state, there are lots of other people kind of helping to do some of that training, because oftentimes they're at the forefront where they might spot somebody who's potentially coming in for medical services, you know, given that they've, a lot of times people who are trafficked are experiencing severe forms of trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, they're getting beaten up by both their traffickers and the buyers of sex. They're going to be subjected to lots of emotional traumas. And so those are the people that we can sometimes say, hey, you might only have 5 or 10 minutes with this person, but how can you kind of help to divert? And, you know, even when we have those situations, still, as you said, there's that trust piece. And I think the way we're going to help build that trust is we've been putting out a lot of different training materials, both for professionals as well as, you had mentioned earlier, our hotel training webinars. Mm-hmm. Because we need more people, I think, responding in welcoming and appropriate ways. We really want people to know that if you're a survivor, you can come to us for help. We're not going to push you away. We're not going to say, you know, this is your fault. And so in order to do that, we really need to be training the systems that are most likely to encounter survivors.
Yeah, one of the things that broke my heart talking earlier in the program about Armani Chambers is that she didn't call her mom because she thought her mom would be mad at her because she ran away.
That is a very common sentiment among youth. You know, a lot of times there's cases where, you know, young people, even when we've been able to remove them from trafficking situations, you know, their traffickers will find them on Facebook or on some other social media account and say, you know, if you don't come back, I'm going to do this to you. And they'll make these threats. And it's heartbreaking when we realize that young people believe the trafficker because they've been victims to such severe forms of violence and really mind control in a lot of ways, that they'll go back because, you know, they want to protect their family, or maybe they're embarrassed or ashamed. And we're really trying to get that message out. There's nothing to be embarrassed. This is, you know, we had a trafficking advocate who said, this is something that happened to you. You know, this isn't, for so many people, this is not their choice. Mm-hmm. This is something that other people are doing to them. And, you know, it's great when youth finally do disclose, but we have so many other youth we know who it takes them some time to feel brave enough to say that.
We are talking about human trafficking in Wisconsin, and we are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Jeff from Milwaukee. Welcome to the program, Jeff.
Hey, good morning. I never thought I would know somebody who was a victim of human trafficking until I did. Mm-hmm. And it did not fit what I had envisioned as something typical, suburban family, middle class. But for her, it was to feed a drug habit, and she was trafficked for 3 years, and the stories are simply horrific, but she didn't want to get out of it, you know, reflecting back now, because it was feeding a drug habit. She would either get money for drugs or drugs directly. Is there a correlation that you've seen between the explosion of the opioid crisis and the increase in trafficking? Because I got to believe there's a lot of other women like that who are, and men, I guess, too, are kind of trapped into it because of their addiction.
Jeff, what a great question. Joy?
Yeah, we, you know, at DCF, we work really closely with Wisconsin Department of Justice, and specifically, actually, just almost a year ago now, they developed a human trafficking bureau. So the special agent in charge, Ben Poehler, is very familiar with these cases that a lot of times, you know, it's not just going to be trafficking. So often drugs are often involved. And whether or not that's because, you know, someone already had a drug addiction and they're looking for ways to help support that habit by engaging in sex acts, or whether it's because traffickers get them addicted to drugs and then kind of helps keep them, you know, in the life, we are definitely seeing that. I mean, there are cases certainly where, you know, parents, unfortunately, sometimes may traffic their children in order to get drugs for themselves. And mm-hmm. that's been a nationwide story that I've heard time and time again from multiple states that I've talked to, where they say, you know, they're seeing an increase in that. And so really that adds just to the complexity, again, of trying to help remove someone from these situations, because not only are you dealing with trauma, then you're also dealing with an addiction that you have to help treat.
Well, thank you for shedding light on this, because, boy, I never knew it existed, and there it was right under a lot of our noses.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate your calling. That was a great question to add to the conversation. We could probably go on another hour talking about human trafficking. We will definitely revisit this conversation at a later time. Joy Ippolito is the Anti-Human Trafficking Coordinator and a Policy Initiatives Advisor for the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families. Joy, thank you for doing what you do, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Carrie, for having me. And we encourage everyone to go to our wisconsintalks.org website to learn more about the campaign and how you can help spread this awareness message.
We're going to have that on our website also. I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.